Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
greetings. You are tuned into Block Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. I hope and I pray that all is well with your family circle. And I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And I just want to take this podium. I want to take this stage. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank those of you that so graciously tuned in on this morning. Hallelujah. And may God bless you real good, as I know he will. And I just thank you from the very depths of my very heart and soul. Hallelujah. I don't know, look like my system is kind of lagging here this morning, but we just gonna believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I know somebody need a word. Somebody need a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just thank you, like I have first stated, I thank you so graciously. Hallelujah. For just tuning in on this morning. Hallelujah. And so I just want to let you know that you're tuned into the program. A live church service is the Old Ship of Zion, and your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. And I'm going to put the number up on the bulletin board. If you have any prayer petitions, if you have any prayer requests, if you have any testimony of miracles that God has done in your life you want to share with the world, then you're welcome to call in. I will prompt you at the conclusion of our service. I will prompt you wish to call in. So I'm going to give you that number across the bulletin board, and that number is 646-230-74. That's 646-230-74. So if you have any prayer petitions that you would like to call in and let us know what God is doing in your life, we would be eager to hear from you. Hallelujah. And so, as I have already far stated, hallelujah, is that I want to send condolences out to those of you that has lost loved ones. May it be in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, last 12 hours, 8 hours, 30 minutes, even seconds ago. So we just want you to know that you're not alone in your hour of bereavement, and that you have pilgrims and prayer warriors that's praying with you and for you, that God will restore your joy. Hallelujah. Back unto your soul. All right. So now I want to just thank those of you that are able to tune in on this morning. I want to thank you for allowing me into your living room area. I want to thank you for allowing me into your workspace. I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast or radio dial. Hallelujah. And I just thank you so graciously on this morning. All right. And so now we're going to go into our opening prayer. And so I'm asking those of you that are out there in my live digital church service on this morning to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. I'm going to acknowledge our Lord and our Savior, our soon coming Messiah. I want to present the psalm and introduce the others. He's a holy deity. He's a holy God. Hallelujah. He's the Lord. and the chief cornerstone of our lives. Hallelujah. And so we just thank God because he made this here, all this possible for us to congregate and unite, hallelujah, around these four corners of the earth. God made all that possible. So we just thank God that we can unite around the globe and just, you know, enjoy the Lord, hallelujah, together. So I just want you, as I first stated, just to bow your heads as we go down in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together in unity, God, once again, around this spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination, but we know that you told us that you went to prepare a place for us, and when you return back, you would come to receive us unto yourself. So until that time come and it's upon us, we will continue in your will. We will continue in your way. We will continue to move onward and upward, God. Hallelujah. And mounting up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay, able me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their heart and soul. Father God, we'd be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple of God people say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I am scheduled to be with you this morning an hour and a half. I've already lost some time. But at any rate, hallelujah, I'm just going to let God intervene into our service on this morning. And I'm just going to let God have his way. Hallelujah. And so we're going to take you right now into a live program that's already in progression. I want you to get your smartphone, your laptop, your tablet, and get your beverages. May it be your OJ, may it be your latte, may it be your W-2, whatever you have at your disposal that you want to bring aboard, then you do that. Hallelujah. Because we just want you to just come aboard and allow me to bring the divine word of truth, hallelujah, across the podium on this morning. And so I sermon on this morning entitled Pain and Gain. I want to say that one more time. Our sermon on this morning entitled Pain and Gain. And we're going to read from our first key scripture, and it reads this. It says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Hebrews 12:11. All right, I'm going to read the next key scripture, and it reads this. It says that the Lord reigns forever. The Lord is a strong hope in time of trouble. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 9:7. All right, we're going to read our third key scripture, and it reads this. It says that Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And that was our key scripture on tonight. And that's coming out of the law of John 15:18. Hallelujah. So we're talking about pain and gain. And you know, we hear on the radio, we hear across the web, hallelujah. We hear on our TVs and various gadgets that we listen to our news from, that it's just look like it's just no peace to be found. But we know that the only peace that you and I can find will be in the Lord Christ Jesus. There's peace where we can't find peace anywhere. We can find peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. We look like, you know, you, like I said, you know, we turn on our radios, we turn on our TVs, our computers, our smartphones to get information. And it just looked like every, you hate to really turn on anything as far as news, because you know that it's going to be something that is not going to be good. But we know that in spite of what we're going through, hallelujah, we know in this world we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. But we know that God is not going to put up on us no more than you and I can bear. Hallelujah. We know that God is a good God. God is a gracious God. And like I have first stated, he's not going to put any more on you and I than we can bear. And I know sometimes, you know, in this world in which we live, this global world, hallelujah, this, let's see, what other name they have for the world? This planet Earth. Yeah, planet Earth. So we know that planet Earth sometimes, it looks as by chance as though chance rules our lives. But we know that in this spiritual life, God told us that difficult times will come. And sometimes that difficult seems to come and snatch yours and mine and our faith. If we get a bad report from the doctor, or you know, it may be a test that has been ran on us and it come back positive, you know, then we get nervous and we get fidgetive and we don't really, you know what to do. And if there's an earthquake, it can shake the grounds underneath you and I, underneath our feet. Hallelujah. But we wonder if God is in control. But I want to encourage your heart, and I want you to sell your spirit, because God is in control. God is not asleep. The Bible says God do not sleep, nor does he slumber. So that means that God is up 24/7. You know, we know that Satan, which is our adversary, he's up 24/7 as well. But God has dominion over Satan. Because when God went to Calvary Cross over 2,000 light years ago, and they said they spread God wide and they hung him high, hallelujah, amongst two thieves. And they put a crown of thorns upon his head. They pierced him in his side. They put a nail in his left hand and his right hand. And then they placed one foot upon the other. They crossed it. And they drove great big gigantic spikes from the top layer of God's feet to the very last layer of his skin, down through the flesh, the bones. I mean, every part of God's body was racking with pain. The Bible says that God died like no other in mankind or humankind. God died like no one else has ever will die. No one else can die like Jesus have died. So Jesus, when Jesus died, on the third day, Jesus raised from the grave with all omnipotent power in his hand. So he's got power over heaven and hell and earth. You hear what I'm saying? God has power over earth, over heaven, and over you and I, and hell as well. So God is the go-to man. I call him the CNC. That means Christ in charge. So we, you know, this does not catch God off guard. It does not catch him by surprise. Hallelujah. But David had a big problem. We find out that David's enemies were always out to get him. And for a while, hallelujah, it was as King Saul, he was then competing as the military leader. Often it was his own family. And the Bible says that David occasionally questioned who was running his world. But we know one convincing proof that secured David's faith. In the long run, his enemies lost out. See, when you got the power of God in your life and upon your life, you hear me? You got power over every demon, every devil. You can call it. So I bind you in the name of Jesus. And that devil and that demon's got to flee. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that David's faith in the long run, his enemies lost out. That means that his enemies lost and David triumphant. And you and I know that in spite of losing an occasional battle, we know that the forces of right will win the war. One by one, we find out that David saw his enemy defeated. God's right way conquered all of God's opponents. So we need a long view of history to see how goodness outlasted wrong. And we know that it's individuals in our world that is causing harm and causing death to our people, to our children, to the Christian world, to innocent bystanders, babies, infants. But you know, there's going to be a day of it's going to be a day of reckoning, I guess the old folks would say. There's going to be a day that everybody is going to have to give account of what they've done in this old body. The Bible says, may it be good or not so good, we're going to have to give an account. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And God has not retired. His ways still overcome all opponents. But you know what? When you and I and us, when we realize who's in control, we'll find out that our outlook changes. We are assured because God is all our strong refuge. In a time of trouble, in a time of oppression, knowing that our Lord never forsakes us. And we know that he gives us endless hope and joy. Hallelujah. We can count it all joy. Because we know that weeping might endure for a night. But we know that joy is going to come in the morning. We know that the devil is thinking that he's doing something so big and so bad. But honey, you just wait. You just wait. Because God is going to show him who's running things. And one thing about it, they are under God's instructions, not vice versa. God is the CNC, just like I first stated earlier. He is the Christ in charge. And God commanded the devil to do what he wanted him to do. See, he's under God's jurisdiction. He's under God's command. And would God tell him to get somewhere and be seated, then that's what he better be doing. He better be doing just that. But we find out that, it's no rest. Like I said, it's no rest. Look like everywhere you turn, there's chaos. But honey, God will bring about a change. God is the game changer. Hallelujah. God is the game changer. You hear what I'm saying? And we don't have to fret. We don't have to fear what the enemy can do to us, because we know that we can count it all joy, because we know that God suffered just like we are suffering down here on earth. Jesus suffered, the Bible says, like no one else had ever suffered in all mankind. No one ever suffered as Jesus did. And sometime, you know, in this walk in our lives, in this Christian walk, when we're walking with Christ, we find out that the stable things upon which we leaned it on. We find out that those things has been removed. So you can lean on your husband, you can lean on your wife, you can lean on your son or daughter, your cousin, your nephew. You can lean on a good friend. You can lean on your business partner. But sometimes those things are moved out the way. And then we don't have anything to lean on. But see, God is a jealous God. He tells you and I and us that he's a jealous God. And he don't want us putting anybody before him. See, so when those things that we once depended upon have been removed, that gives you and I and us our identity. That's what makes you and I who we are. They are taken away from you and I. And then we feel helpless. We cry out to God. Sometimes we even blame God. Job lost his possessions, his family, his health, everything that made him who he was. But he soon realized that he was merely a steward. Nothing really belonged to him in reality. Something else made Job who he was. Gave him integrity, namely, that was his faith. The Bible says that he knew that in time of trial, he must continue to trust in God. He knew that he had been blessed by God. He also knew that even when all seemed lost, he could continue to bless the name of the Lord because of his steadfast assurance in God. And sometime on this journey, you get to where the devil wants you to give up. The devil wants you to throw in the towel. You know, our adversary, he wants you to throw in the towel and give it up and say, hey, you know, what's the use? You know, you're going through all of this for what? But see, you can count it all joy because we know that through pain, we suffer again. Hallelujah. Whether down here on earth or whether it be when God calls us on that great day, when we stand before that great white throne of God to be judged by the deeds that has been done in this old mortal body. Hallelujah. So if you're with God, don't dare turn your back on God, but you keep your hands in God's hands. Hallelujah. Keep on moving forward. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep seeking God's face because that's the only way we're going to be able to make it is in prayer. Prayer is our weapon of defense. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. That is our weapon, is our prayer line because God hears us when we pray. God do not turn a deaf ear to his children. God is listening to each and every one of our prayer petition. Hallelujah. We know that similarity that the trials you and I face, it reveals the integrity of our faith. We know that during these times we find out what makes us who we are. And like Job, we must continue to trust in God, even when all seem lost. When it seems like you've lost everything, I'm encouraging you to trust God. Keep on standing. Because one thing about it, everything that you lost, God gave it to you. And God will repay you. God will give you back double of what you lost. You've heard people losing their homes in floodwaters, in overflowing of rivers and tsunamis and tornadoes and thunderstorms and mudslides and you name it. And I'll tell you what, you might have to go through a little while, you know, but it don't mean that you have to go through a long time, you know, because God said that one day with him is just like 1,000 years. So one day to God will equal 1,000 years. You hear me? Just one day. So we don't know how long you might have to go through, but if you just keep on standing, keep on trusting in God, God is going to bring you out. He's going to bring you over. He's going to bring you under. He's going to bring you through with the victory. Hallelujah. And see, Job understood that we must understand that God is not punishing you and I and us, but he is preparing us for a higher purpose. We must know that something good always comes out of our trials as you and I and us. As we experience them, we must have faith in God's word
avoid sin, and never charge God foolishly. We must remain in our character, always mindful that we have the victory through Christ Jesus. And then, like Job, we must fall down and worship God, saying that the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 1 and 21. And you can pray this prayer. You can say, Lord, I pray that whatever trials that I might face, I will maintain my integrity. I am committed through Jesus Christ to remain in character, praising and worshiping you for the victory. Ask God to help you. Hallelujah. And see your hand in everything, in every trial, so that you might keep the faith and avoid sin and never charge God foolishly. In Jesus' name, amen. And see, you know, a lot of people want to say, you know, well, I don't know. You know, that God you're living for, I just don't understand, you know, how he can let these little babies, you know, die and get killed and all of that. But see, God has a purpose for everything. God has a purpose. Just know that it's all under the jurisdiction of God. It's nothing coincidental or accidental, but it's all under God's authority. See, if God don't sign his name on it, if he don't put his penmanship on it, then guess what? It can't go anywhere. But it's only if God put his stamp approval on it. It's got to abide. God said that his word will not return back unto him void. And meaning that whatever God has sent his word out to do, that's what it is to do. See, you know where you've been, but you don't know where you're going. So that's the reason why we have to stay prayed up. We have to stay prayerful. We have to keep our mind and our heart anchored in God. Because Satan is so busy, I'll tell you, he's just taking over the minds of some of these people. And the things that they are doing is so demeaning. You know, it's unhuman. I'm telling you, it's just a shame that the things that these people are doing. Hallelujah. But because the devil, like I said, is controlling them. The devil has taken over their mind. I mean, I read it was a newspaper reading that a guy had supposedly paid a woman $15, and she had a little baby son, little infant baby son. I don't know how old he was. I don't know if the paper said how old he was, but this 50-plus-year-old man paid the mother of this infant baby $15 to commit an oral act on this baby. You know, when you hear stuff like that, I mean, it's just so appalling and so, oh Lord, it's just outside of the box. You know, we used to say that our daughters was not safe, you know, to walk to school or, you know, play out in the yard alone without, you know, someone being out there to watch them, because we know that people will come up in your yard and kidnap your son or daughter out of their own private playground, you know? I mean, that's just how satanic the devil is in this year of 2017. I mean, he's more busy, look like this year than he was in many years. I'm telling you. He's busy, and he's taking over the minds of these people. And they are doing stuff just, I mean, you never heard of. It's so appalling. I mean, it's just so heartbreaking until you just, my God, you know what? But just know that the devil is taking over their mind. You know, you can't say you're sane. A person cannot say they're sane if they're going to take a little baby and do a sexual act on this baby. Baby don't even know he's in the world. and you would sit there and do something as degrading as that. Oh, you just lost all kind of table manners, bedside manners, morals, and the whole nine yard. But I'm telling you, we're going to have to stay prayerful, and we're going to have to, you know, we're going to really have to break ourselves from being on the internet so much, because, you know, when you get on the internet and you can't sleep without getting in on the internet, you know, all through the night, and you're sitting up all night and posting, you know, you're not doing anything but giving the devil just what he wanted, and that's to take over your mind. Dictatorship. See, because when you're in God, you ain't got no time to be up on the internet 24/7. It's time to, you know, it's the time to place everything. And you get on there for a while and do what, you know, you do, and then get it down. Don't just let that be your whole life. You know, you got sleep with this thing in your hand, in your pocket, you know. And then if you hear any vibration, you got, oh, somebody, you know, they texting me, or are they doing some, or did somebody come in on this, somebody coming on it. You know, you got to rest, because you're going to wear your heart out, because one thing about it, you can't rest if you don't lay down. And you have to rest and give this heart some rest so it can rest. Because just up all day, all night, that is not good. And I know your family needs you. And you need them. And they need you to be around. And you don't need this thing, you know, to be hung up on it to where you can't do anything without it. You know, if you, mind you, I know if you misplace it, of course you're going to, you know, you're going to be in a panic mode. But I mean, you know, just like you can't stay off of this thing, you know, what's up with that? What's up with that? You can't let nothing take over your mind like that. I mean, nothing. God don't want you to get in throes and enthroned over nothing unless it's him. Because like I said earlier, he's a jealous God. And he don't want you in love with the internet. You get on there and you do what you do, and then you get off. And don't get hung up on there all day. The other evening, I was driving. This individual was riding on a skateboard. He was crossing the street when it's still red. And I had the right of way. But, you know I'm cautioned. I pray before I leave home. I pray during my, you know, during my travel. And so I saw him, you know, and I said, now he had his headphones on. He had his phone in his hand, and he's looking down at his phone. Now his life could have been taken right out under him. Somebody could have come along and run over him, and he'd never know what happened. See, that's when you got your mind just all in one place. Because, see, if he'd had his mind on his phone and on his surroundings, then that's another thing. But just to have your head down in a phone, and you out here in the middle of all these cars and traffic, and you running the walk light that says red, you done run it. So you out there, you're not even looking at where you're going, who's in front of you, who's on the side of you, who's in the rear of you. See, the devil wants to destroy you right then and there. Because his MO, that's his motive of operation, 24/7, the Bible says it's to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, I come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. So you can't sell out. You can't let the devil have what he didn't give. He didn't give you life, and you cannot allow him to take your life. You got to give Jesus a chance. When all else has failed, it's time to give Jesus a chance. And so, like I said, like Job, hallelujah, I knew that the reality of extreme and sudden loss. Job ignored the advice of his wife to curse God and die. He didn't listen to his friends who filled his ears with advice. Instead of Job, search for God. And in regards to him, confess. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Job 23:10. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So we know that right now it behooves you to be on the Lord's side. I wouldn't be outside of the gate. And if I didn't know God right now in the pardon of my sins, I would raise my hands right where I'm standing, right where I'm sitting, I'm stooping, I'm lying, I'm squatting. And I would raise my hand toward heaven and ask God to forgive you all sins that has been committed. And God will forgive you. Hallelujah. God will forgive you for everything that you've done. And God will put it in the sea of forgiveness, not to remember it anymore. Ask God to be your Lord and Savior, and God will be your Lord and Savior. He will reside in your heart, but he will not reside in an unclean house. That means that heart of yours has got to be clean for God to reside in it. So that means giving your life to God, because you don't know when death will knock at your door. And you want to be ready when Jesus calls. You want to have that heart of yours, that heart house of yours. Not talking about the house that you lay down in, that you eat dinner in, and then you relax in. But I'm talking about that heart house of yours. You want it to be right. You want it to be ready. Because we are living in the last days. We're living in the last days. I'm telling you, everything that God has said was coming to pass is coming to pass. And all that has not come to pass will come to pass. Because his word will not return back unto himself without accomplishing what he had sent it out to do. I mean that. Hallelujah. So I tell you, you know, we've been encountering a lot of suffering with the Christian worlds, the people at the church that was in service, the lives that was taken. Hallelujah. God said that our lives are just like a vapor. Hallelujah. You don't know when God allowed a call your cue card. So it behooves us to be ready. Hallelujah. It's so sad. You know, all we can do is just pray. You know, just pray for those families and pray, you know, for what's going on. That's the only thing is key is prayer. You know, people say, well, I can't do anything. You know, we send in the war tanks over there, and we send in the airplanes over there, and we send in this missiles over there, and we send in this and that. But what we need to send is send prayer. We need to get together and have a change prayer around this world. Then we can see God move in our lives. We can see God move on our behalf. But see, we're not doing anything but just sitting and looking. But we need to get on our knees and start praying and start crying out to God and banding together and quit all this bickering and calling each other's names and all of that stuff, because that is not going to get you and me and us anywhere. Because we're still, at the end of the day, you're still my brother. I'm still your sister. And we're still here. We're not going anywhere. God has put us here to love on each other. And until you do that, it's nothing is going to go right. It's nothing is going to go right until we do what God has instructed his children. We're supposed to be his children. We're not supposed to be acting like baby kids. We are not supposed to be acting like heathens, but we are supposed to be acting like we are children of the King. See, when we're disobedient, we are heathens. We're just like baby kids. When you tell that kid no, the kid said yes. When you tell him to stop, he said go. See, so those are disorderly kids. They don't mind. They don't obey the parent or anyone, far as that go. They just do what they want to do. because they feel like, you know, you're not going to do anything to me. You know, you do anything to me, I call 911. I call 911, you know. I tell them you hit me, you know. But you have to be the parent. You're still the parent, and you're responsible for that child. When you don't discipline that child, then what you are doing right then, that is abuse, because you are not training that child up in a proper way that he would be a productive citizen in this world. And you're going to be held accountable as well before the judicial system. You'll be held accountable. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, we can do a whole lot because we can pray. And when we pray, that get God's attention when we pray. But we just can't sit idly by and just, oh, that's so sad. Oh, you know, what is that doing? That's not doing anything. You can't bring them back. All you can do is just pray for the living. You know that they died in the church house. You just know that God got them. See, but you got to get yourself together. You got to get your soul right. We got to get ourselves together. And we got to get ourselves together fast. You hear me? I mean, fast and in a hurry. Hallelujah. So, like I said, you know, we know that it's painful, the things that we go through in this life. But it's also profitable. It's a profitable experience when we can learn that when God disciplines you and I and us, we know that our greatest gain isn't what we get, but it's what we have become. See, God said through Christ, we are new creatures. The old things, that the old you and the old me has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So you are a new, improved human being. You are a new, improved brother, a new, improved sister in God. Hallelujah. Now in the law of Hebrews 12, I'm going to read this, and this is going to wrap it up. We read that our Heavenly Father loves us too dearly to let us remain immature. Like any loving father, he disciplines you and I up, he corrects us, and he trains us, often through difficult situations. We know that God uses our time of struggle to help us grow and make us more holy. Many people are motivated to live for health. Some are motivated to live for wealth and in ease. And they try to avoid pain at all costs. But we find out the abundance of life that God's intent for you and I and his people is not trouble-free. Hallelujah. It is not trouble-free. But we know that growth and change are often unsettling. A lot of us don't want to grow. We don't want change. I mean spiritual change. But the gain is worth the pain. So in the end, the pain is worth the gain. Hallelujah. We know that God uses our setbacks to move you and I and us forward. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondent to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondents. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Guerra, California, 95020. You can log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and also on Instagram. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at the wheel because he is people friendly. So you now, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want to call in, you can call into the studio and talk with your host and moderator, Overseer Janice Ward. If you have any testimonies of victory that you'd like to share, then you're welcome to call in and share the goodness of Jesus. And if there be any testimonies or prayer petitions, we're going to now turn you over to our second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Here singing and praying with me. And at this time, I would like to introduce to you my brother, Reverend Cecil Franklin.
It is my task to have a few comments. And I thought about a passage of scripture, the Gospel according to St. Mark, 16th chapter and the 15th verse, where we are challenged to go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. You know, there is a unique advantage in preaching the gospel using the vehicle of song. For songs have the advantage of being packaged and wrapped in universal appeal. Songs are not limited by natural or human boundaries. The gospel through song is universally comfortable, for it is not hindered by local, state, or national boundaries. Not hindered by racial, economic, political, or religious preferences. Songs are clothed with the ability or capacity to successfully and confidently meet the challenge of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. Songs are in a position to confidently answer that challenge. And therefore the gospel through song accepts the challenge and responds joyfully, praising the name of Jesus. And therefore we sing, oh how I love Jesus. Oh how I love Jesus. Oh how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. We come tonight carrying on that same tradition. We come not blazing new trails or pioneering new paths. We come treading the same familiar track, telling the world that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We come telling the story of Calvary. We come telling the world how God hung, how he bled, and how he died, and how he was resurrected. We come telling the world of the joy of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we come once again to dedicate our lives to continuing to sing the song of Zion. We thank God for Aretha and for every individual responding in making this effort possible. Her Christian commitment to carry the gospel to every creature is unquestionable. And you know, we all have our favorite songs of praise and celebration. I don't know what yours may be. It may be, I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Long as I live while trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Your song might be, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me. Oh, where shall I go? It may be peace of heaven as I go through this wilderness here below. Why don't you guide my feet in peaceful ways? If Britain don't believe you, he
Let me bring our family back here now, if you will. Sister Irma Franklin. Irma, won't you come forward? Sister Carolyn Franklin, come up here, Carolyn. The real baby sister, Brenda. Come here, Brenda. And our sister beloved, one who wears the coat of many colors, Sister Aretha Franklin. As we grew up in our tradition, and it was dark, the Lord was our light and our salvation. Lord was the strength of our lives. We thank God for Jesus. We even thank God for evil. He helped us to appreciate just how good it was. We learned to say we are grateful in the earliest of our existence, even to right now, we are grateful. We learned our lessons in the wilderness. We are grateful. We can look back on slavery and we can close our eyes and wonder how it got over. We are grateful. We've been down in the grave, but it conquered the grave. And we are grateful. We've been crucified, but the stone has been rolled away. And it's Easter morning. And we are grateful for all this talent that God has given us and a chance to glorify His name. We are grateful. We have a God tonight that's so great and so big and
so wonderful. And once you know God, everything is delivered. No mountain is too high, no valley too low, no water too wet, no winter too cold. We serve a mighty God. So our heads are high, our chests are out, and joy bells are ringing our souls, and we're glad about it. From the great joy of our lives, Sister Mavis Staple. Let's hear it. Sister Mavis Staple.
Mavis and I grew up as teenagers, traveling with our family. She and the Staple Singers, and myself, and my dad, and Lucy Branch, and Sammy Bryant. And we met on a Mississippi road one evening. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And we're going back to our rooms.
Thank you.
Let's give Aretha and the family another great round of applause. Let's hear it. We've introduced Reverend Brother Cecil Franklin and Irma and Carolyn and Brenda, but in the real sense, the mother of us all, the mother of Pastor Steele Franklin, Mama Rachel Franklin. Give her a big hand. Give her a real big hand. Give her a big hand. She showed the way. She helped us. She prayed us through. Mama Franklin. Let's hear for Mama Franklin. A big round of applause. Let me make these several observations now. During this period, this is not a program. This is a worship service. It's for us the most sincere moments we could ever spend. We reach out to our God. We reach out in ways that say thank you for delivering us. Thank you for bringing us from a mighty long ways. We reach out saying thank you for sustaining us even now. We thank you for this marvelous talent that you have endowed us with. When we reflect on this great church and think about new life, new hope, new Bethel, Reverend Franklin used the powerful gift that he had to preach a gospel that was a seven-day gospel. Beyond preaching about the moral imperatives of personal salvation on Sunday, he talked about social and political emancipation on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And that is why Reverend C.F. Franklin helped to lead the march for civil rights with Dr. King on Detroit. He had a voice of concern and compassion beyond the walls of our regular church services. From this church, voter registration drives were conducted. From this church, Reverend Franklin challenged us to be a whole people and to be a well people, to be a free people and to be a responsible people. Tonight, as we listen to these songs of Zion and songs of joy, let us reflect on what God has done for us and to us and through us. And be sincere as we worship him in fullness. For we feel real good tonight. But in all of our ways, we are taught to acknowledge God in all of our ways. when we think about slavery, not too long ago, they speak about the railway on the ground. Well, the church was our railway station. It's where we landed. The church is the Lord's house. The church is our power station. At a time like this, we need a power that goes beyond just political and economic power. For as significant as that is, something still is vital and missing. I visit about 4 schools every week of my life. I speak to 3,000 to 5,000 of our children every day. And I ask them, number one, if you know someone in your age group who is dead because of drugs, stand. About 25% of them stand. If you know someone in your age group who is in jail because of drugs, stand. More than half of them stand. And sometimes ask, Reverend, what about the teachers? I ask them, if you know someone in your age group, in your school, who takes drugs, stand. Almost all of them stand. And then I ask them, if you know someone in your age group who has contemplated suicide, given up their life, never fewer than 60% of our children stand. They consider surrendering their lives. At a time when their sun should be shining, it has been eclipsed. When their flowers should be blossoming, their flowers have withered. Something vital is missing in their lives. Tonight, Detroit in America, we have a challenge to use the spirit that we feel tonight to take us beyond this place. This generation must stop the importation of drugs in America. I know it's not. But the morning comes. We can make it. I know it's dark, but the morning comes. We're here by our stripes. I know it's dark, but the morning comes. Egypt and slavery could not hold us. The morning had to come. The Red Sea could not hold us back. The God we serve could part waters. The morning had to come. He took the lion's appetite and turned that growl into music. The morning had to come. Got up out the grave. The morning had to come. Herod could not stop him. The innkeeper could not stop him. The silver star was shining above Bethlehem because the morning had to come. Church,